Yep, he's planning another project. So this Father's Day at Lowe's, tap into free gifts for dad. Get a free select Craftsman power tool when you buy a Craftsman V20 charger with 2 amp hour and 4 amp hour batteries. Plus, get a free DeWalt power tool when you buy a select 20 volt max XR 4 amp hour battery kit. Dad knows our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 7/14 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. The visit of the Ukrainian Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba to an unusual capital, Islamabad, Pakistan. Why? And what's in it for Ukraine to maintain good relations with the Sharif government now that elections have been called and there's much turmoil in Pakistani's governance? I welcome Arif Rafiq. Arif is a longtime guest of mine and correspondent, especially on the subcontinent. He now is globallynews.com. Arif, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. The mystery can be solved quickly. Dmytro Kuleba calling on Islamabad government within these last days. What does he want and why? Good evening to you.
Hi, John. Thank you for having me on. Well, Foreign Minister Kuleba visited Pakistan ostensibly to court Pakistan's support for the Ukrainian effort in the Russia-Ukraine war on the diplomatic front. So Kuleba has been visiting countries in the global south, specifically in Africa and Latin America, to get them to shift away from their neutrality on the war and support Ukraine at the UN. But I think the real focus of Kuleba's visit is military. Pakistan has been providing covert military support to the Ukrainians through third parties since last year. It's been delivering 122 millimeter and 155 millimeter artillery rockets since last year. And as President Biden had unwittingly conceded earlier this month in an interview with Fareed Zakaria, that Ukraine and the United States are running short on those rockets, and countries like Pakistan are needed to fulfill that demand from Ukraine. And so the deputy defense minister of Ukraine joined Kuleba on that visit. And my sense is that they were very much interested in increasing that supply of weapons.
So artillery shells for the artillery duel in Ukraine. That's what Ukraine wants. What does Pakistan get out of it? And in particular, is this the government and the army working together? Is this the army deciding and the government going along with it? How do you regard it?
Yeah, you know, as with Pakistan, any issue that involves foreign policy is the army leading with the front, with the civilian government as the facade in the front. And so since late 2021, early 2022, the Pakistan army has been trying to rehabilitate its relationship with the West. Once President Biden decided to withdraw from Afghanistan, he also effectively withdrew attention from Pakistan. So Pakistan has been trying to strike a balance in terms of relations between China and the United States. But the Biden administration has relegated it to a sort of mid-level within the U.S. bureaucracy. It's been getting little to no attention from the top and no attention from the president himself. And so for Pakistan, the idea is this. It's that they can provide the West with critical support, you know, nothing strategic or anything, but critical tactical support on the Ukrainian war effort. And then as a result, earn brownie points with the West, with the US, the UK and France, countries that are courting its arch rival India and sort of giving Pakistan the cold shoulder. So what they'd like to do is kind of turn the clock back and revive the good old days of US-Pakistan partnership from the war on terror, as well as preceding eras during the Cold War.
About the ammo itself, I've seen photographs over the years of the artillery duels that take place in the very high ground, the Himalayas, the mountains around Pakistan, between Pakistan and India. I'm presuming that that's what we're talking about now, 155s, 122s. Does Pakistan manufacture these, or did they buy them? And how big an arsenal do we believe they have?
Yeah, these are manufactured by the Pakistan Ordnance Factory, which they produce their own weapons. They're largely self-sufficient with respect to this very basic these basic rockets and artillery. They have one of the world's largest armies in terms of personnel as well as firepower. When it comes to these types of weapons, they're very much self-sufficient. So there's a ceasefire between Pakistan and India on the line of control that separates their respective regions of Kashmir. And Pakistan is using this period as an opportunity to kind of sell this surplus material to the West, which is being delivered to Ukraine.
Who is paying for it, to your knowledge?
Western countries are paying for it. So the United Kingdom, as well as other NATO countries, are purchasing the weapons, and they have end user agreements with the Pakistanis, and then they're delivering it to the Ukrainians. It's also possible that the United States is doing the same as well. That information has not come to the fore publicly, but it may eventually become public.
Do we know the route? How does it leave Pakistan? How does it get to Ukraine?
There are multiple routes for these weapons to reach Ukraine. One route is basically an air route that is from Rawalpindi, which is the seat of the Pakistani military, to the United Kingdom. And then from the United Kingdom, those weapons are sent to either to Ukraine or to these effective staging grounds in Eastern Europe, like in Poland.
We move to India then. As I understand it, India does maintain a neutral stance in the conflict in Ukraine. Mr. Modi, the Prime Minister, has been clear about that. And yet Ukraine is unhappy with this. I believe the characterization by the Ukrainian officials is that there is Ukrainian blood in the oil that India buys. Is that a story in the subcontinent? Is India being pummeled because of its decision to buy Russian oil?
It's been on the receiving end of harsh criticism from Ukraine. I think from an Indian perspective, ultimately, that doesn't matter because it hasn't impacted the way the West is courting India. Prime Minister Modi has just returned from visits to the United States, France, as well as the United Arab Emirates, another country that's playing sort of both sides of the game in this Russia-Ukraine war. So it's gotten a lot of criticism from the Ukrainians, but at the same time, it's being fed by the West. India has emerged as a top importer of Russian oil since last year, taking advantage of what were once steep discounts from the Russians. And then it's also exporting the processed oil, refined oil to European markets. So it's one of the big net winners of the Russia-Ukraine war because it gets to maintain the status quo in its relationship with Russia, which has been a longtime ally. And at the same time, perceptions of growing vulnerability of the West vis-a-vis China is resulting in India being courted by virtually all major Western powers. So it's more or less having its cake, getting to have its cake and eat it too.
The Sharif government has said that there will be new elections in the fall, October, November of this year. The Sharif government has been troubled by the challenge by Imran Khan, the previous prime minister, who is campaigning very vigorously all the time on media. The position of the Sharif government is we're going to sell shells to Ukraine via NATO. Does Imran Khan have an opinion of this matter?
Khan has opposed any sort of alignment in the Russia-Ukraine war. So as your listeners may recall, Khan was in Russia on the day that the Russian invasion was announced. And he had said that Pakistan should adopt a neutral posture in the war. And he was contradicted by his own army chief, the army chief at the time when Khan was prime minister last year, General Qamar Javed Bajwa, who said that he told a public forum that he condemned the invasion of a smaller country by a larger country, Russia of Ukraine. And the analogy he was trying to make was that of India and Pakistan. And so he's been at the opposite ends of, he's been not on the same page with the military on this issue. And the military is using its support, its covert support for Ukraine to improve ties with the West, which is very important for it, not just in terms of stabilizing its struggling economy, but also in terms of giving it access to weapons from the West.
Khan is understood as a populist. Is this a popular opinion to remain neutral, not to sell shells?
It is. It is. So any sort of reports on this are censored in the Pakistani press. So even, earlier this year, a European Union official recognized Pakistan's military support for Ukraine in an interview with Geo News, which is Pakistan's top news channel. And then that report was subsequently edited, and those references were removed from any sort of public television or any website. And so there's a real effort to censor any information on Pakistan's very obvious yet covert support for the Ukrainians.
And finally, Khan himself, is he making noise about this, or will he be? What's your expectation? We have a few seconds.
His primary concern is his own physical and political survival. Right. So he does refer to this from time to time, but ultimately he's in a fight. He's facing his own existential fight as well.
Arif Rafiq of GloballyNews.com, all one, GloballyNews.com. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.